May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as you know by now, this week was Vacation Bible School at St. Stephen's, and it was joyful and fun and a little bit silly and exuberant and definitely exhausting. I'm with Keith, I'm still a little bit tired. We asked a lot of the volunteers who made this week possible. Planning and preparation, creativity and flexibility, prayer, and of course, a lot of time, and even sometimes getting out of their comfort zone. We also asked a lot of the kids who attended this week. For some, they had to try new things and meet some challenges and in some cases face their fears. For some of the little ones who had only begun nursery school 3 hours at VBS was the longest time they had ever spent away from mommy and daddy. For others, learning Bible stories and even walking in the doors of St. Stephen's was a new thing. Some were more hesitant to try out crafts or recreation, knowing that that's not where their skills lied. And for kids who were a little older, singing silly songs in front of your peers can be a little bit intimidating and even embarrassing sometimes. On our last day of Vacation Bible School, in our Bible lesson time, which I was fortunate enough to get to teach all week, I was teaching the kids our final theme for the week, God's Heroes Have Power. And in the lesson, we talked about how by the Holy Spirit, we all have power from God to be heroes. And then I passed out their capes. Yes, each child got their own individually made cape. And we spent time making paper bag puppets of themselves as heroes. What hero would they be if they were a hero? They had to design a puppet. And I noticed one little boy gluing about a dozen googly eyes on his puppet. And I had to ask, what kind of hero are you making? And he said, I'm making a spider. So, of course, I asked, oh, do you like spiders? And he replied to me, no. Totally serious, no. I'm scared of spiders. I'm facing my fears. He was so serious about it. Well, maybe this week's lesson really did sink in for this little one. Or maybe he was being funny, but the concept of fear, or what we are afraid of, came up often during VBS. And fear is certainly a big part of our gospel reading today. In the gospel, Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000, which we read about last week. He has tried to spend some time on his own to grieve the death of John the Baptist, but those hungry crowds follow him everywhere. So he heals them and feeds them. And now he's trying again to spend some time on his own, so he takes off up the mountain to pray. The disciples, meanwhile, are down in the boat on the water going ahead of him, and they are getting battered by a storm. They are far from land, they're without any means of getting to safety. I wonder what the disciples fear there in the boat. The boat being swamped and them drowning at sea? Drowning there without seeing their loved ones again, as they've left them all behind to follow Jesus. Drowning there alone while their beloved teacher is up on the mountain, having seen him feed the crowds of strangers and now fearing that he will not come to them in their time of need. The disciples' fears are not actually abated when Jesus comes to them walking across the sea. They see Jesus and they believe him to be a phantasma in the Greek, a ghost, an apparition, a specter, and they cry out in fear. Jesus tries to reassure them, it's me, don't be afraid. And Peter, in that bold, brash, foolish, and faithful way that he has, says, if it's you, have me walk to you on the water. And Peter does, for a moment. And the gospel tells us he notices the strong wind and begins to But I wonder if it's really the fear of the wind that causes Peter to sink, or if it's fear from what happens next. Jesus, of course, rescues Peter, and they end up back in the boat. And then, there, in the boat, for the first time, the disciples worship Jesus and call him Son of God. This is no longer just Jesus, their beloved teacher and healer and mentor and friend. This is the Son of God. This is the living God that has come into the world. At the beginning of this story, the disciples are fearful because they may drown. By the end of the story, the disciples are fearful because they know they are faced with the truth. They are in the presence of God. We all have things in life that we fear. We all have times when we are in the boat, battered by the waves, afraid of the wind, afraid of the truth that is set before us. I want to invite you right now to do an activity with me, a sort of imagining that I did with the kids this week. I made the kids lay down on the floor for it, but I won't make you do that. You can sit in your pews, and I invite you to close your eyes. Go ahead and do it. Close those eyes. I want you to imagine something that you fear, something that you're afraid of. Maybe it's a small thing, maybe it's a large thing, but close your eyes and imagine that thing that you fear. And as the kids imagine this, I ask them to start to curl up in a little ball, but now you might just imagine that you're doing that. Imagine that thing that you fear and imagine pulling your knees up to your chest. As you tighten into a little ball, this is often what it feels like when we are afraid. We start to close up, we start to close in, we start to curve in on ourselves. Just imagine that feeling of being curled up in a tight little ball. This is also how Luther defined sin, curving in on oneself. Think about how that feels and hang on to that feeling for a moment. We'll come back to it, but for now, open your eyes. If you've turned on the news this weekend, you've probably heard stories of the clashes in Charlottesville, Virginia, following a march and demonstration by white nationalists. They were protesting the removal of a statue of Robert E. Lee, and we can try to say that this is just about people who want to preserve history. But their words and their actions have revealed that it is about much more, it's about something much deeper. The white nationalists carried Confederate flags and swastikas and chanted Nazi-era slogans. They chanted out things like, "You cannot replace us, Jews cannot replace us." They spoke about taking their country back. It was a march by people who were worried that they are losing their country, that they're losing the country they have known. They are worried that they are losing their heritage and their hold on their communities and their jobs and their traditions. These are people who have truly curled in on themselves. As long as this exists, it is important for us as people of faith to name this worry for what it is. Fear. It's fear. And as a wise Muppet Yoda once told me in a little film called Star Wars, fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. This weekend's news is certainly that kind of story. And as Jesus Christ himself proclaims to those fearful disciples in the boat, as the God of all space and time, the God of all people everywhere proclaims time and again throughout our holy scriptures, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. As followers of Jesus, we are called to have courage in the face of fear and the hatred it produces. This fear causes people to see one another not as brothers and sisters, not as members of one human family, but as enemy and competition and threats and less than human. But God's heroes have courage, as each one of our kids could rightly tell us. We learned at VBS that having fear doesn't mean you don't have courage, and being courageous doesn't mean that you're not afraid. Fear is a natural thing. It's an appropriate feeling sometimes. One of the hardest questions I found myself answering this week for the kids was some version of, do grown-ups get scared? There's an expectation when you're a kid that you're gonna grow up and things are somehow going to be easier and less frightening when you're older. But of course, as adults, if we're honest, we know that fears might change. They don't go away. Your spouse really doesn't like spiders, so you might learn to suck it up and deal with spiders, but really, you still hate spiders. You may know how to swim now, but being in a boat battered by waves and wind is still a frightening experience. We have learned how to get along with people who are different from ourselves, but when it comes to sharing our communities and our lives with one another, we're still afraid of how it might work out. I want to invite you to close your eyes one more time and go back to that fear feeling. Go back to that place where you're curled up in a little ball with your knees pulled up to your chest. And I want you to imagine that as you're curled up, that the hand of God is holding you. The hand of God is supporting you, guiding you. This is what I asked the kids to imagine this week. In the face of fear, courage is not being unafraid. It is remembering that God is with you in the midst of these times. You may open your eyes. What the kids learned this week, and I think what our gospel lesson says to us today, is that courage is not being unafraid. It is knowing that Jesus is beside us, even when we are in the grip of fear. It is knowing that Jesus comes to us through every storm in life, walking on the water to get to us, to be with us, to help us walk on water through the storm too. Hundreds of religious leaders and followers of Jesus showed up over the weekend at a counter-protest to the white nationalists. I am sure that some of them still felt fear. Fear for their own changing communities. Fear for how to get along with those different from themselves. Fear of violent clashes. But as followers of Jesus, they could have faith and trust that God is beside them in the midst of this and every storm. We are called as followers of Jesus to strive against this fear, not in Virginia only. We are called as followers of Jesus to have courage in the face of fear, not in Virginia only. We are to strive against this fear in our own hearts, above all. To have courage, despite the fears that we feel, very real fears. What are our fears? Who have we made assumptions about? Who would we rather not welcome to our country, our neighborhood, our own homes? Who would we be disappointed to see our child walk in the door with as their significant other? Who would we rather avoid on the street? What shops do we see in our community that we would rather not enter? These may be real fears, and that's okay. But courage is knowing that God is with us even in those fears. Courage is when all of our fears turn instead to fear of God. When not our own worries are the most important thing, but when God's presence with us becomes the most important thing. This is not fear as in being frightened, but fear as in awe. Being in awe of God's presence, being in awe of God's mercy and God's might above all other things. And lest we think that Jesus might condone our fears, let's remember that the man who today says, "Do not be afraid," is the man who welcomes outcasts and strangers and foreigners and the poor and the disabled and all those that others in his society saw as less than human, as unimportant, as undeserving. And lest we think that Jesus might condone our fears when we say it's in the name of safety, let us remember that this is a man who gave his own life to show love to people such as these. Let us remember that this is a man who gave his own life for us. A man who gave his own life to show love, who died for what he believed in, and constantly chose love over fear and the well-being of other people over his own bodily safety. It is this Jesus that turns to us in the midst of our fears, and says, "Do not be afraid." It is this Jesus who walks to us in our darkest moments and walks with us, who doesn't stand far outside our fears, pointing a finger and condemning us, but instead comes into our fears and sits with us in them, gently poking us and prodding us to get up and walk across the waves. For this Jesus, and for the courage that he inspires, thanks be to God. Amen.